And so when we go out, we don't have to say, man, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to get people to go through this program format with me? We just need to go out full of the Holy Spirit and say, okay, Spirit of God, who do you want to minister to? Who do you want me to talk to? And then when you talk to them, just share whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to share, or do whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do. He might want you to do some act of mercy to them, some gracious, loving kindness to them that's going to touch their heart and make them ready to hear the gospel. He might want you to speak a word of encouragement to them, or just pray for them. You know, just say, hey, you know, it's good to meet you. Thank you for, you know, helping me with that, you know, muffler or whatever it was. By the way, you know, I'm a Christian, and is there anything I can pray for you about? I have devotions every day. Can I just put you on my list? What can I pray for you about? And that's exactly what I did with the waitress that night. You know, I just said, hey, you know, is there anything I can pray for you about? And she was so moved. She says, oh, man, we're in, I don't even remember the name of the place, Chili's. And I said to the waitress, you know, you are such a hard-working girl. I see you going back and forth. You don't even slow down. You know, you're just such a hard worker, and I'm so impressed by that. By the way, I'm a pastor. Is there anything I can pray for you about? And her eyes got big. She said, oh, it's silly. You'll think it's dumb. And I said, no, nothing's too silly. She says, well, my mom has these cats, and they have feline leukemia, and they could die. And, you know, I've had pets die before, and it's so hard when that happens. And I know it's dumb and silly, but would you pray for my mom's cats and mine also, that it doesn't get the feline leukemia? And she was tender, and she meant that. She was so, and I said, I would love to do that for you. And so I wrote it down in my book, because I didn't have time then, because she was busy. And so later, when I was giving her the check for the dinner, she said, by the way, thank you so much, man. That was so kind of you to ask and to take an interest in what was in my life. I was like, that's it. That's it. You know, don't come with the program. Just come with the Spirit, man. The Spirit will tell you in that moment what you ought to say. So anyway, getting on the plane to come home, and thank you guys for being so patient while I ramble. Getting on the plane to come home, son of a gun, we're in first class again. They put us in the first class seat. You know, we're about to travel 500 miles an hour at 30,000 feet above the ground. So I normally pray when I get on a plane. You know, because here I am in my little seat, nothing between me and 30,000 feet of nothing but a little bit of sheet metal. So, you know, and I'm traveling 500 miles an hour. There's no oxygen up there. And so I generally pray when I get on board a plane. I actually pray before I get on board the plane. I usually thank God afterwards, after I get off the plane. So I'm sitting here in first class, and by the way, you know, during that preceding time, I had had some, you know, I had really questioned this whole thing about, well, Todd Bentley only got to pray for me for a second, you know, I don't know if he got any blessing or not, but at least, you know, God worked through Michael Brown. So anyway, I'm sitting here in first class, and I'm, you know, like, Lord, please bless this plane, bless the airport, God, you know, give us a smooth flight, smooth takeoff, smooth landing, no turbulence, all the things you pray for on a plane. And as people came onto the plane, and it was ironic, we were the first people seated in both times. I think we were the first one on the plane, and we got right into our seats. The Spirit says, pray for these people. I'm like, wow, okay. So the people began to file by, and everybody that got on the plane had to come by me. I was like the gatekeeper. You coming on this plane, you're getting prayed for by me. Because I figure, you know, I don't know what kind of demons these people are carrying on board the plane. I mean, there's all kinds of demons in people's lives. You know, I don't want them things on the plane with me. They don't have a ticket. They ought not be on the plane anyway. They didn't pay for their fare. Even though they're, you know, the prince of the power of the air or whatever. But, you know, I don't know what kind of sin they're involved in. I don't know if they flew down there to have some affair or something. I don't know if they're involved in gross immorality or something. I don't know if they're carrying a curse. Maybe a generational curse or some other kind of curse that's in their life. And you know what? You know, God told Abraham, if there's 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, I'll spare the place. But, you know, what if there was 6? And I'm like, well, you know, Lord, you might spare this plane if there's 10 righteous people, but what if it's like me and Missy? You know? So, you know, as people got on, I began praying for God's common grace. And all the people in theology class remember common grace. God, you know, God sends the rain upon the righteous and the unrighteous. He might bless the righteous guy's farm with rain. The unrighteous guy right next to him gets the same rainstorm, and his crops grow too. That's part of God's common grace. His special grace is what gets us saved, but his common grace blesses even the ungodly. And so I'm praying for God's common grace. I'm like, Lord, for the sake of me and Missy, if nobody else, spare this plane. Give this person common grace. They'd walk by and be, God, your common grace be upon this person. And your blessing be upon this person. Your protection be upon this person. Your mercy be upon this person. And every person that got on that plane, going to North Carolina and coming back, I would be praying for them. Little people, oh, God bless these precious two little girls. Bless this ugly big old guy here. God, you know, I know he didn't get it when he was born, but bless him now, you know, whatever. I pray for everybody. And there were, you know, I mean, you get all kinds of come on board the plane. You get them, you know, in suits. You get them in, like, weird-looking clothes. You get, you know, every imaginable kind of person coming on the plane. And I pray for every one of them. And so we're sitting there getting ready to come back to Maryland. They got all the people on the plane. And as I got done, the Holy Spirit said to me, John, do you realize what you have just done? You have prayed, as people walk by you in a line, you prayed for each one of them for a second, maybe 2 seconds. Why did you do that? You did it, number one, because I told you to do it and you were being obedient to me. You did it, number two, because you believed that if you did that, God would in fact bless them and give them grace and protect them and give them mercy. Because you only prayed for them for a second, didn't matter. You did it because you believed that God would do it. Now, John. Yes, Lord. Last night, somebody prayed for you for a second. They even laid their hand on your head. You didn't lay your hands on anybody. And they only prayed for you for a second or two, but you had the audacity to doubt whether I would honor that prayer. And you have been the whole time praying your heart out for these people coming on board the plane, that I would give them grace and bless them. Do you believe that I will do that? I was like, yes, Lord. And he said, well... Like, yes, Lord, amen. Praise God. The Gentiles think they'll be heard for their much speaking and their many words. But your Father knows your needs. He knows what needs you have ahead of time. So I was just so blown away by that profound word from the Spirit. I was like, man, you know, God is good. All the time, God is good. And I am believing for great things. So let me say, you know, I'm going to take a break from the Gospel of John for a while. We're just going to talk about revival for a while. Because I believe God wants to bless our socks off, man. I believe He wants to move in a mighty and awesome and wondrous way in our midst. I believe God absolutely wants to send revival to Queenstown and to Kent Island and to this whole area, Caroline County, Talbot County, Queen Anne's County. But you know, it's very dangerous to pray for revival, because if God sends rain and the ground is not prepared to receive it, that rain can pour down for all it's worth, but it's just going to run off and it's not going to soak in. And you can cry out for rain. God, send your rain. Pour down your showers of blessing. Send your Holy Spirit. Let Him fall upon us like they did in the book of Acts. And God can rain down showers, but if the soil is not prepared, it does nothing. And so I'm delighted, I'm ecstatic that we are crying out for God for revival, that we are crying out for Him to pour out His Holy Spirit. But you know, there's something we need to do first. Revival is sovereign. We can't force Him to do it. He does it when He, in His time, the way He wants to, through whom He wants to, and when and where He wants to. But it is incumbent upon us to prepare the soil so that when He does sovereignly pour out His Spirit, the ground is ready to drink it in and to bring forth a harvest of fruit instead of thorns and thistles. Because the ground that drinks the rain often and bears nothing but thorns and thistles, Scripture says, is near cursing and ready to be burned. I'm going to go ahead and share this real quick. I was planning on maybe talking about it next week, but I'll share this real quick. When you look at the history of revival, particularly from the Reformation onwards, oftentimes when God would have this mighty revival, pour out His Spirit and thousands would get saved and mighty moves of the Holy Spirit, not long after that, there was some horrible cataclysm that took place in the earth. You look at the Welsh revival in 1904, thousands got saved in all that time, hundreds of thousands got saved, perhaps millions around the world. And what followed on the heels of that? World War I, and destruction and carnage on a scale the world had not witnessed before. And the very men who were who may have been in those revivals shouting and praising God and getting saved and all those kinds of things were just a couple of short years later in trenches being machine gunned down by German troops, suffering chemical warfare, nerve gas, mustard gas, and casualties and carnage on a scale the world had never witnessed before. And Michael Brown, as he writes about revival, says, you know what? Be careful when revival comes, that you really receive it from God and that you continue to walk in it and that you bear abundant fruit. Because if you don't, that revival could simply be a way of giving you the grace to endure through some horrible carnage that the Lord is going to need to bring upon the earth in judgment. And so the weight and the gravity of this thing just captivates me. Yes, we want to cry out for revival. Yes, we want to cry out in desperation and hunger for revival. But we want to do it with a prepared heart that's ready to receive what God sends so there can be lasting, abundant fruit so that God can multiply that fruit and we can see that through a generation or generations for blessing from God rather than simply being prepared to handle some horrible catastrophe that's about to come. Amen? Amen. So as we come expecting next week, and I'm going to nag you guys, you know, forgive me, but I'm going to nag you about this. Come expecting next week, but not only come expecting, come hungry. And let's spend this week preparing our hearts and saying, God, how do you want my heart to be so that I can receive what you want to pour out for me in revival? When you send your spirit, when you send your showers, Lord, help me to have my heart ready so that I can receive it and not just let it run off and be fruitless and bear thorns and thistles. And if we will do that and God sends that revival, it will be bigger than anything we have ever imagined we would see in our life. It is truly amazing to behold. Praise God. Amen.